Mr. Rogers, reel 5.
We were talking about when you were on this trawler minesweeper that had just been refitted. You picked her up at Dundee, and you mentioned that your first trip was up to Stranraer.
Yeah, that was for the trials.
And what were the trials? What do you remember of the trials?
Well, the manoeuvring of the engines and the movement of the ability of the trawler for turning, and the actual working parts of a trawler. And mine sweeping.
Using the paravane.
Even the paravane, so just, you know, like when they say trowels, that's the overall of everything.
And what was it like as a sea boat? I mean, did you get seasick or was it rough? Or?
No, well, it was rough, but luck would have it, I wasn't seasick. I've only been seasick once and we come to that later.
So what happened after the sea trials?
Well, we had to go and help to bring some of the American ships in that was leaving St. John's, Newfoundland, and clearing the way for them to come into England, into the, what you call it, the British.
So you were clearing the path ahead of a Canadian convoy?
Yeah, well, American they were.
American, sorry, yeah. From Canada, coming from St. John's.
Yeah, they were coming out of the States, and we picked them up because... they come across from Newfoundland, St. John's, that way.
And where were you clearing, or where did you meet them?
I know. That would have been in the latitude, longitude, you know.
Somewhere in the Atlantic.
Somewhere in the Atlantic, yeah. More or less on the northwestern approaches.
And what do you remember about that? Anything happen?
No, just that we had to keep a sharp lookout for... all surface craft, because once they start coming close to the Shetland Islands and that way, you've got the E-boats coming out, and you've got some of the aircraft, so you had to have eyes everywhere.
Now, what was your watch system like? Can you describe the watch system you
were
on?
Well, you had 2 hours on and 4 hours off, and when the winter started, you done... 1 hour on and 3 hours off, because it was so cold that your eyes started watering, and sometimes if you didn't keep blinking, your lids stuck together. Then the colder it got, I mean, some of them that was on Russian convoys.
No, stick to what you were on, yeah. How bad was the cold for you? How much did you feel it?
Well, it was quite damn cold. I mean, we had woolies on, jumpers, duffel coats, and sou'westers. That's like a waterproof hat, you know, and a big mac over the top of the duffel coats. But you still feel the cold round the face. And
was it warmer in the engine room?
Oh, yeah, it was in the engine room. But when... See, on a trawler, you've got to be able to help out on all, everything. See, you might be off duty and now you get the klaxon go, and it was all hands on deck, and you went down in the engine room and they say, right, go up on deck and give them a hand. They might be with the paravanes, it could be on the Lewis guns, you know. Just keeping your eyes and ears open. And, is that a plane? One chap, shout out as a plane. When they looked, it was a seagull. And of course, we laughed at him. But the CO, the cox came down, the skipper. He gave us all a rollicking. But didn't say nothing to the... chap said a seagull, because he turned around and said, you're all laughing, but I'd sooner have you all standing too for a seagull and you leaving it and saying right to the last minute and them stand too and we're sunk. See, so we got told off, and though we laughed at him, he got praise from the skipper. See, so that's how things was, you know, in those days.
What was the food like aboard ship?
Very, very good, actually.
What system of preparation? Did you help prepare it, or was it done by the cooks?
You mucked in. I mean, you might get a job peeling the potatoes and that, and, you know, the greens, but...
In the kitchens?
In the kitchens.
In the galley.
Well, in the galley, but you had a little box room off of that where you had to peel everything by hand, like, you know. We never had no electric potato cleans and that. So you done a bit of everything.
What was the food like? What sort of thing would you have?
Very, very good.
So what did you have?
Well, we'd have bangers and mash. One day we'd have meat, another day, then we'd have a soup, you know, then have egg and bacon sometimes, or we might just have porridge. See, being a lot of them on board were Scotchmen, so you had the Scotch porridge, which I couldn't stand it.
Because they had salt in, so the sugar.
Yeah, and it's so thick. Yeah, it's like trying to eat paste sort of business. But
anything else about those early trips? You know,
well, don't forget. I mean, I was only what, 18 then. Just over, around about that time, you didn't think about anything. You just do this, and you done it. Because the people that were giving you the orders, not only were they sea-going fishermen, and though they wore a naval uniform, being the war was on, you didn't argue, you just did it. Otherwise you got helped along the deck with the toe of their boot. Which was very, very good, really, for later on in the years.
Was the discipline harsh?
Not discipline as attention and all this, none of that. You do that, see, and you never argued. You've done it. See, but it's none of this parade discipline.
And where were you based? Were you based at Stranraer, or when you...
No, we came back to Dundee, and, we stayed there, then we, they started Commissioner then, that was going to give her a name, and I got a draft to go back to Chatham. See, in Chatham...
So what happened at Chatham?
We was waiting for what they call a draft. That's a posting, for people who don't know what a draft is. And from there...
Now, you told me last time there was something interesting you said about how it was a trick to avoid being given work. Could you tell us that again? Because that was quite interesting.
Well, being the family's all Navy, it was all Navy, they said, now, when you go to Chatham Barracks, get yourself the brown envelope, put a piece of paper in it, make sure it's got, as if it's got something in it, stick it down, and just walk around with that, and anybody that pulled you up, you said, I'm a messenger, I've got to go to the regulating petty officer, or I've got to see the Jimmy the One. See, that is a full lieutenant, or RMVR, whatever rank was at that position. See, so you got out of doing it all, any parades or foot slogging or any cookout fatigues.
And it worked.
It worked.
And you also, there was a problem with the prevalence of stealing. Could you talk about that? A lot of stealing at Chatham.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there was a hell of a lot of stealing because, I suppose the average age would be round about 25 to 30. See, because you had regular sailors there, you had Royal Naval Reserves, Royal Naval Volunteer Reserves, then you had, as us, National service, hostilities only. See, so everybody was on the fiddle.
And how would, what precautions would you take to avoid your stuff being stolen?
Well, we used to get a brass rod, like an engine, you could buy them, and you used to put them through the rings at the top of your kit bag, and as you come over, they clip there, and you could put a padlock on it. See? And that's, but then they started cutting the bottom out of the kit bags. So the kit bags stood, what, 3 feet high. See? And what we I used to do is, I was told by the family, get any valuables, roll them up in your hammock. See, because you roll your hammock up with six half-inch, half hitches, then, what's called it, you stowed it, because it had your name and number on it, and your valuables was inside that. So they'd have to pinch the hammock, which would be very hard to get anything inside it, because you'd have to undo all the half hitches, which is was seven of them, and open it all out to get to anything in there. Well, with a kit bag, if you cut the bottom out, you just pull it out quick on the floor and away.
And what did you spend your time doing in Chatham?
Not much. I went out about maybe two, three times, unless I could get what we used to call a Friday while or a Saturday while. That means you got a free pass to go home if you lived pretty well near, and go home, say if it's a Friday while, you go home from Friday midday until 0700 hours Monday morning, and Saturday while would be from 12 o'clock to 700 hours on the Monday. And I was lucky, see, being on the railway, I could get what they call privilege tickets, that you only paid, I think, a tenth of what the fare was. See, because we used to save the travel warrants, because they lasted, say, for 2 months. See, but with the railway privilege tickets, they only for about, I think it was 48 hours. Then, because I used to come home and go back.
And anything else about your time at Chatham? You were there about a month, I think, from your papers.
Yeah.
Roughly March 43 to April 43.
Oh, while I was there, went down to see me tailor and have a tiddly suit made.
Can you explain what a tiddly suit was?
It's exactly the same as the ordinary naval uniform, but it was the front of the jumper was with a V. So we used to have it cut with a U, so it looked nice, see, and showed more of your white front, see. And the trousers was the standard issue was 24 inches. Then we used to have a tiddly suit made with 28 inches, but mine was 32. And being I only take a size 7 shoe, if I stood up and bent forward a bit, you couldn't see me feet, because 32 inches is a lot of doing. And that was what we call a tiddly suit, and because we had all the gold wire badges, as a stoker, that. So, you know, Jack's ashore, you know.
Now, where did you get your first posting from Pembroke, from Pembroke Barracks, Chatham? Where were you posted to?
The The actual draft was called HMS Manatee, M-A-N-A-T-E-E, Manatee, Dinosaur.
What was the dinosaur part?
That was because it was a very old fish. The manatee fish, how can I explain it? There's one down in the, Albert Nutt Museum. And that's how I know what it was, because I was looking around, the boy said to me, I've heard that name before, when I took the twins down, and it had manatee, that was the name of the fish. And it was a deep, very deep, you know, you don't see it. HMS Manatee, Dinosaur. Because we thought it was a foreign ship of some kind. And we had to report to Yarmouth, Isle of Wight. Well, we got the draft.
And the whole area of Yarmouth, that was known as HMS Coprex.
That takes in the Isle of Wight, Poole in Dorset, and Southampton and Portsmouth. That was the area that our particular craft we was on, well, to go to pick up and learn how to handle these craft.
And what sort of craft were they?
Well, originally they were the Thames barges that go up and down the Thames when the ships couldn't get in, because when the tide went out, they used to have these barges towed over by a tug, and they used to load them up. And Thames dumb barges, and we went down.
And they actually were old Thames barges.
They were the old Thames barges.
Could you describe them?
Well, they were what? They were flat-nosed, shaped at about 45 degrees down. Then the barges were around about 60 to 80 feet, because different sizes. And that's all there was at the time.
And were you given a particular one?
No, not then. We had to go and get them from Southampton, even come up to the Thames to get these barges.
And were they self-powered?
No. They all had to be towed.
By what?
By tugs. And then we had to take them to Southampton.
So would you be part of the crew of a tug, or just on the barge?
We were just on the barge at the time, so that we could get the feel of how she rolled and all this and that. And because the deck was only about 18 inches wide all the way round, because the hull was open, see? So you only had the 18 inches to walk right the way round the barge. And when we went to Southampton, we had two Chrysler Marine 8 cylinders put on either side, port and starboard. They cut the stern off, the back of it, and put a ramp to go out into the water, and one inboard to go into the hull. And in between the two ramps was a big steel bulkhead that had to be lifted up and clamped down with two handles, the four handles to either side. And to the outboard ramp, we had to wind up one other side on, I had to wind it up. Then they put glorified overgrown box, but it wasn't a box, it was armoured, 4-inch armoured plating round, about 4 foot high. And they put steering wheel in it, a bell pull for port and starboard, and they had the steering wheel to do the steering, which was behind the starboard engine.
I thought they didn't have engines.
Pardon?
I thought they didn't have engines.
And not when we first collected them. Then we went to Southampton.
And they fitted an engine there.
There.
So what sort of engines did they fit?
Chrysler Marine 8-cylinder engines.
Sorry, you did mention that. I didn't realise what you meant, but yeah, yeah.
See, and there was one port, one starboard. The only thing wrong with that was that if the rudder, if you beached awkward when we first got them, it broke the rudder, so it couldn't be steered. You had to be steered with the port and starboard engine. Well, the thing is, we came out of Southampton one day and the rudder fell off. So the only time we could do is the coxswain and the leading seaman, because they had two big oars, about 25 feet long. And we didn't know what they were for. So they told us to get hold of them, and we rowed from Southampton to the Isle of Wight. So we because there was a big crane there, but it worked by hand. So it could lift the rear up to repair the rudder. Then after that, a few months later, we had to go back to Southampton again, and they put a guard round the rudder, so that if you beached, the guard would stop the rudder from being knocked off. Then while we were there, they up the front of the, I can't use the word the bows, the front of the barge, they had a trap door about 9 inches higher than the deck, with a lid. You went down in there, and they put two double bunks in there and one single bunk. And they put a slow but sure combustion stove. That is a round stove that was, you had to set light to it, then put coal on it. And the chimney went out through the deck about 6 foot in the air. And we had to cook on that, and also up to keep the weather, you know, like keep us warm in the winter. The only trouble is, when we went out for manoeuvres, anything on the stove finished up on the deck.
Now tell me what your training was in these sort of adapted barges. What exactly were you doing? Well, you were based at Yarmouth, in the harbour at Yarmouth.
Yeah. But no, we was based in Yarmouth in the actual harbour itself. We called it a harbour. And we used to go out beaching at different places all the way round from the Isle of Wight, all the way round the Isle of Wight, and from from Land's End, right the way round to...
You don't mean Land's End, do you? You don't mean Land's End. Do you mean the Needles?
No. Land's End, we were beaching.
In Cornwall.
In Cornwall, right the way round to Erne Bay. That is what we were taught to take and beaching. And we tried.
And what would a typical beaching would what would happen? How do you do it?
Well, we'd go out in single line ahead, and then we get orders with a flag. We knew what the flag. You twist it round and round, and if you pull it up and down once, it meant you go to the right. If you pull it down twice, you went to the left. Because we, the only other thing we had was an Aldis lamp. And then you'd get it turning the other way means you had to turn around and go backwards. Because we had to beach stern first. And we tried with motors, because that's what the originally name of them was, landing barge vehicle medium, LBV, and the M was in brackets. And they found they could get on the barge down into the hole, but they couldn't get off.
Who could?
The trucks couldn't get off. Because
was that what was going? Not tanks, it was trucks.
It was. They started with the tank, trucks first. Then they tried carriers. But even the carriers couldn't get out up the ramp because they get so far up, and as soon as the water, being the ramp in the hole was wood, they were just spinning round and they were sliding because the ramp was about 2 foot away from our engines. See, so when they started moving sideways, we moved. And
now, how did you overcome that then?
Well, they tried all of them, then they tried the infantry. But they found that ramp wasn't long enough. It made it too steep when they dropped them in the water. See? And they kept falling over. Then they decided, we'll try the Royal Marines, because they're more better than the ordinary infantry. But they was just as bad, if not worse. And, from there, they said, we're usually for stores, you know, running stores. So they tried it with big bales put on there, acting as the weight of whatever we were going to carry. Thing. So when we was fully loading, we were about 3 feet above the waves. And
so you'd be loaded up with stores. They abandoned using vehicles or infantry.
Yeah.
How did you get to beach back on? It sounds a bit complicated. Stern first.
Well, it's something you get. Being you had the coxswain, who was a lighterman, and they knew how to handle these barges. See, so you go start going backwards or stern first, and all of a sudden you get three rings on the starboard engine or three rings on the port engine, then all of a sudden you get one ring on one engine to stop, so that you're keeping her straight as you're going in. And when you did beach, one of the crew had to run ashore with a heaving line and this big 3 foot spike and the 14-pound sledgehammer. Had to drive the spike into the ground with the sledgehammer,